All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is November the 4th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Definitely a temperature change in this area. Yesterday had a pretty good frost. It's frosty and chilly. But it's nice because usually in the afternoon it warms back up. I mean, not, you know. You still need a light coat, right? But it's pleasant. I absolutely love this time of year. but, yeah. So what else is going on? Not much. It is Saturday. Came to work. My first appointment, she is actually in the hospital. So her husband came by and said she won't be making it. So I had a couple hours this morning to free up or fill in, so I thought I'd come and sit down and see if I can do a podcast and chat it up a bit. Not a whole lot going on. Did not go to a meeting last night. Actually went out to dinner with the wifey. It was good. Went to Outback. Delicious. You know, I've always been like support local restaurants. And I you know, certain ones I absolutely, you know, you should support local restaurants. But man, some of these restaurants have lost their mind, and the prices they are charging, which is fine. That is the right they have, but I cannot support it. It's too expensive. And now it's turning out like Outback, you know, and this isn't an advertisement for Outback, but their food's really good, and it's actually reasonable, which is interesting because these other places are out of control, and I just cannot support that. So we went to Outback. It was good. Had a great night. You know, they do a nice job. The wings are so salty. Part of the problem is I just don't use salt. And so anytime that there's salt and stuff, I just am like, ooh. But I'm learning, right? I have not been to Outback. We used to go, back in the day, we used to go to Outback all the time. And kind of haven't. And my brother and my father like to go to Outback on the weekends. So I said, let's try that. Sort of love it, but I have to figure out how to order certain things, and some things I just have to say no salt, right? I might even have to say no salt on everything because I just, you know, I just haven't eaten salt. I'm just not a big salt eater. Nothing against it. Listen, eat your salt. I don't care. I just, for some reason, maybe I'm too lazy to go get the salt and put it on. Little salt and pepper. But whatever, that's not why I came to chat today. I just thought I would, you know, it's funny. We have a couple in our life that are going through some challenges. And it's a shame. It's just a shame because sometimes some people just cannot see. They can't back up and look at the picture in a more wide view. They have to, you know, focus in on certain things and can't step back and take a look at the big picture. And the big picture, you know, is always different, right? I mean, I've gone through, unfortunately, a couple divorces. You know, the first one, I mean, they're both really my fault. The first one, I just started drinking. And the second one, it's not my fault, but it's hard to marry a guy that's sober, right? We're sometimes can be a little boring, right? We're not going down to the bar and having trivia. And I think my second wife, you know, she has a great guy in her life, and that's the kind of stuff they do. And I, you know, part of me is sort of jealous. I wish I could go to the bar and do trivia and come home without being completely obliterated, but I can't. So, but, you know, two different situations. But, you know, neither one, every, you know, both both endings are tough, a lot of emotions, right? A lot of emotions. But I can tell you, I don't know how many years it's been. I mean, my oldest son just turned 18. You know, his mother and I, we really had some tough bumps in the road. But luckily, this program and a sponsor, and sometimes just to step back and take a look at it from a bigger perspective instead of so focused in on certain situations. You know, and I wish I could tell this guy, you know, this couple that are sort of part of our life right now, you know, that some of this shit will not matter, right? He is so, I don't even know what he is. He's really just immature. I mean, he cannot, like, you know, like she had a car, he took the car away. He is making it so difficult for her to survive, right? Just to punish her, right? Just to punish her. My buddy Matt used to say, dude, in 5 years, none of this shit will matter. And he was absolutely right. Excuse me. At the time, I felt, because I've been on both sides, right? I've been on both sides. The first time I got divorced, you know, it was a huge inconvenience for me, man. I was like losing stuff, right? Money. And I shouldn't say that. I was turning over something that was not mine, which was like, you know, I did not own her whole house, right? We forget some of that shit, right? I remember my first wife and I had a house. And, you know, when we were getting divorced and when it came time to, you know, split up our assets, I, for some reason, forgotten that without her, we wouldn't have the house at all. Right, it took both of us to get to where we were at. But when it came time to separate, it seemed like everything was just all mine. For the Worms, Pink Floyd, From the Wall. Such a fucking dark album, man. When I listened to that, I remember being a kid, and that was the soundtrack to my sadness. The soundtrack to my sadness. I don't know. It was crazy. Dark. Very interesting time being a teenager. But, you know, the point of this, the conversation is that, and, you know, I wish I could have one with this guy. I wish I could sit down and chat. But he's a prick. Sorry. But he's a total prick. And I'm sure I do know him. And when we were friends or early when we all met, he was a nice guy. And so I know he's a nice guy in there. But right now he's being a total prick. And the reason that he is being a total prick is because he is not getting what he wants, right? And the reason I know this is because I'm absolutely 100% just like him. Just like him. I can absolutely put my freaking feet in his shoes and totally justify his behavior. And I just wish I could tell him, man, it ain't worth it. You know, these are some of the most amazing gifts that I've learned out of this program is just how to handle certain situations, right, that used to baffle us. And I don't even know if... I guess this would be sort of one of them, right? You know, I can remember when all hell fell apart when I was younger and I just had a lot of finger pointing, right? And couldn't understand how this could be happening to me. How could this be happening to me? I'm a nice person, right? One situation after another situation, always. I'm the victim. I can't believe the world is turning on me. And that's when I'd refer to like Pink Floyd and The Wall. And I'd be like, give me comfort, man. And refer, you know, smoking pot and just in this dark place of, and part of it, I think when, for me, at least in my life at that point was just sort of pulling away from my parents, right? You know, I'd grown up, you know, with my parents as a kid. And at 15, you're sort of 16, you're sort of trying to figure out your own path, right? The problem is this guy is not 15 or 16. This guy is an adult. And it's just a real, first of all, it's an inconvenience for us because, first of all, they were our friends and they were a couple. Now they're not. You know, we're lucky enough to allow or to be have a place where someone can come stay with us if they need to, and she is, and it's actually really been great. But unfortunately, we have to watch the shit that they go through. And I'm grateful that we're there for her, right? I'm grateful that we can be, you know, because, listen, you know, sometimes a relationship breaks up, and sometimes not everybody has a great infrastructure of things to fall back on, right? And this girl doesn't. Right, her parents don't live here. She was here with her husband. And listen, there's always multiple sides to every story. So, but I guess the point is that I just wish that I could tell him, bro, you know, if you would just have some flexibility, right? If you would just have a little more grace, right? If you just have a little more maturity, if you could have, if you could step back, like I said, and see the bigger picture. You know, sometimes we can't see the woods through the forest, right? We cut off our nose to spite our face, right? It's always that ego, right? Ego can't stand this shit. You're leaving me? Oh, I'm going to make it hell for you. It's all ego, right? Not realizing, first of all, they have children together, right? The first time I got divorced, or we had just had a boy, and when that happened, he became the most important. He saved my life, my son David, because I was at the edge, right? I was at the edge of the canyon, and I was about to jump in, and I kept referring back to my son, just thinking, you know, as a kid that was adopted, I've always wanted that. And I love my parents. You know, I think I've documented it very well. I love my father and love him even more as we've been able to go through these last few years. He's even become even more awesome, right? But I, you know, I've always wanted that relationship with my son, right? But I was adopted. So I really found it important to have that relationship because I didn't know where I'd come from, but I could see where I would go, right? I could see the changes into my son. And it was very important. So when I was, you know, because I was struggling, I was drinking right when he was first born. I was struggling in that year, and I called him and I wished him a happy birthday from his first birthday from the Colonial House. I was in a little rehab, and so, but he was what was so important, right? And I remember coming back from that rehab and my ex-wife saying, you know, it's your week. And I thought she would say, you know, you can't see him because you've been in a rehab and you've been drinking. But she said, listen, man, you need to fucking get it together. This is your week. And I was like, you got it. And I never drank again. I never drank again. And because I just, she gave me an opportunity, right? And so I had to recognize that. And we had issues, right? And I had a sponsor, luckily, because, you know, and I talked about the other day, we had to sell the house. We had a whole lot of shit that I did not want to do because it was a major inconvenience. And I thought that I was getting screwed over. I'm like, this fucking bitch is screwing me over. And my sponsor was so great. He'd be like, dude, it's, you know, you split the house. You know, it's, you both paid for it. I forget that. I don't want to hear about that, right? I just want to hear that I'm getting screwed over. And he'd be like, you're not. Really? You're lucky because if you hadn't had that relationship, you maybe wouldn't have the situation that you're in today to be even splitting up anything in your life at all. I was like, well, that's another way to look at it, right? And the biggest message that I got from that early on is that none of this shit will matter today. But what it can matter in is the relationship that we have down the road. And it's not always what we want to hear. And he doesn't want to hear this. And part of me is like, fuck him. I don't really even feel like giving him the advice. But the problem is that his ex-wife is suffering and the children are suffering. And it's ridiculous. But I can tell you, the message that I got then and the message I would have for him today is that it will not matter. In 5 years, it can absolutely be a lot better in 5 years if we take certain paths. It can absolutely be a lot worse if we choose other paths, right? And the path that he's choosing isn't going to make their relationship any better, because eventually we all, you know, it fades, right? You know, eventually he'll find a new girl. Eventually she'll find another guy, maybe whatever they want to do, right? Whatever their choices are. I'm putting guys and women into their lives. But, you know, we find other people. We move on. And then we have to have a relationship with our ex. And I said in a meeting, I said, listen, I might have been a shitty husband, but I'm going to be the best ex-husband I can be. And that's, I mean that. Right. And that doesn't mean that I get walked on. Right. That doesn't mean that everything I do, anything that's asked of me, I do. It doesn't mean that I have no spine anymore. But it means that I think about each situation, both sides. I try to. I think it through. If there's a problem, we try to have a conversation about it. The tough ones. Right. We try to have conversations on the tough subjects and not push them aside, because those turn into resentments and a whole other mess of problems down the road, right? And that has allowed us to have a son that's now 18 that's in college, and her and I, we have a decent relationship. I mean, I would say we're as friendly as any two friends would be. Right? If she had an issue, I would be, you know, I would be there as quick as I would for any other friend, right? Anytime we have a relationship or a conversation, I don't need to refer to how our relationship has been when I bring that to the conversation, because our relationship has been fine. But I don't have to say, oh, I remember when you did that. Right? Oh, I remember when you did that. I'm going to make you pay. I can't live like that today. I am free of that shit. And so for these two, I mean, he is just so inconvenienced, right? And his problem is drugs. Sorry, dude. Adderall. It's a fucking, it's horrible. If you know somebody on Adderall, then you know what's going on. But this is meth. And the worst part about this is I've really been in this guy's shoes on many facets, right? I was on speed. I know what life is like on speed. It's wonderful. But when it comes down, it's horrible. And it keeps going up and down and horrible. And you become out of your mind. And so, you know, that's what's going on. And this could all, their whole marriage could be together if he just wasn't on Adderall. That seems to be the problem. Now, listen, hey, we all play a role, right? So, but that seems to be the problem. And they're real up and down of a person that has those emotions. It's terrible. And I feel bad for him. I wish I could say something, but I can't. And now he's like, you know, he's not mad at me, but he's got an attitude towards me and towards our house. Yesterday he was bringing him home and fucking speeding through our neighborhood. I'm like, bitch, why are you so fucking disrespectful? You're a fucking man baby is what you are. You're a man child. And everybody will suffer because you're having a problem. That's what we do. That's what self-centered assholes with a deficiency in humility do. We make everybody fucking suffer if we're going to suffer. And that's what this fucking guy is doing. He's just making everybody suffer. And, I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, I really don't care. I prefer he didn't speed in the neighborhood, right? I wish they'd work it out. They were a good couple. You know, he had a business. She helped run it. It was fucking, you know, it's one day they will look back. If he ever pulls his head out of his Adderall ass and gets that shit out of his system, he may look back and say, wow, I really had a pretty fucking great relationship. Right? I mean, honestly, he would, if it was his way, he would just keep it the way it is. She's the one putting her foot down. She's had enough of this shit, and I don't blame her. Get off of that shit or I'm leaving. He doesn't want to get off of it. He needs it. He needs it. So fucking funny. I've been watching these articles, you know, Sam Bankman-Fried, right? FTX, the guy that's in jail. And there's more court cases about him getting his Adderall than there is about him going to jail for money laundering or whatever he did. Sam Bankman-Fried is very upset. He can't get his full dose of Adderall. That's what happens to every fucking drug addict that has to take prescription pills. It's happened to me. Happened to Sam Bankman-Fried, and it happens to this guy, her husband. Because that is what the problem is. He takes too many, and then he runs out. And then he has to go a week and it's scurry around the state trying to find a replacement for the Adderall, right? Because you overtook your prescription. I've done the same thing with Ambien. I've done the same thing with pain pills. I've been there, bro. It's addiction. And then when you can't get them, all hell breaks loose and it's just a fucking mess. And this is what's happening with our friend's husband. And this is what's happening with Sam Bankman-Fried. He's going to court over it. He's looking at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in jail. And all he is concerned about is making sure that he gets his prescription of Adderall. I mean, wow. And I will say, I sort of get it, right? I remember being on speed and running out, not being able to get anymore, knowing we're getting ready to take a sleepy sleep. We're getting ready. Life's about to change right now. And it was good for, you know, most addicts to take a week break, right? Sleep for a few days, catch back up, eat maybe. It's a mess. But the behavior and the you know, like, you know, they were married. She had a car. He took the car away from her. She has no car. Took all the money away. She has no money. Took everything that they had together away from her. Went to court, took the kids away, said she's a bit unfit mom. I'm like, why? Because your fucking feelings are hurt? Because you're inconvenienced? Because you're finally being called out for who you really are? And it hurts? And so what do? We attack everybody around us? Yeah, for fucking what, man? Now she doesn't have a car. Now we're taking care of her. And now we're the bad people, of course, right? Because she's staying with us. Ew, you people. You take over to that house. You're welcome, fucking asshole. You should be thanking us for taking care of something you can't fucking seem to take care of. Because you're so immature and so wrapped up in this fucking self-centered bullshit, you can't see the fucking trees through the forest. And what you're losing is, what's going to happen is in 5 years, you're going to go, I am a total prick. And you're not going to have any of these people in your life. I remember when David graduated, you know, and like I said, I've been divorced a couple times. And I am a fucking jerk, a jackass too. Right. So, but I had my sponsor, Matt, at the time. He kept telling me, this won't matter in 5 years. That's hers. You know, like, you know, selling, when you have to split up property, for some reason, I forget all about the fact that her and I both paid for it. Right. All I remember is that it's mine. And so, you know, my sponsor would help me. Hey, you know, you guys, you both own that, Tom. Don't be a dumb shit. I'd be like, all right, right. You know, I'd forget. And so he would help me through some of these things. He would guide me. He would help me with my second thought. Because my first wasn't always great. But I've lived through it, and I look on the other side, and I think, you know, like when my oldest son graduated, we all went out to dinner. Right? We all went out to dinner. My ex-wife, my ex-mother-in-law, my ex-sister-in-law, my ex-wife's son, my wife, my son, David, my other son. We all went out to dinner, had a great time, had a great dinner, because we both, right, we both gave and took to try to get through this relationship. And like I said, we definitely had some bumpy times, but, you know, here we are today because we could put it aside for the bigger picture, and the bigger picture was taking care of, you know, our son. You know, when you take your wife's car away and she can't go to work, that means she can't make money to take care of your children, right? When a divorce ends, you know, listen, I understand sometimes divorce happens, but it's terrible when one person really sabotages the other and not allows them to try to get up on their feet. And that's what he's doing. You know, he took the car away. I mean, dude, how's she going to make any money? Got to make money to survive, to pay for things, to feed the kids. And they have two kids together, and they're staying at our house. You know, it's, listen, this podcast isn't about bashing him. Really what this podcast is about is at least for me, was, you know, trying to take the higher road, right? Trying to take the second thought. Trying to, you know, not do exactly this, not ruin people's lives, because we're not getting our way. And, all right. Enough ranting. Sorry. It bugs me. It bugs me. I understand we get divorced. I understand it's annoying. But to take away the main parts of a person's life so they can't survive is just fucking vindictive. And I don't like that. And then speeding around in my neighborhood where my kids play while we take care of your fucking family, that's fucking annoying, and I don't like that either. Dear God, help me with this one, bro. Actually, I'm fine. I just, you know, it just reminds me of what I was like and where I've come. You know, I was a lot like him. I was a big, giant man baby. And I can still have moments, but I can see it today. Look at the whole picture. Back up. Look at the picture. What's this going to mean in 5 years? You know, are you hampering, you know, the progress of people that were that you used to love? Probably still love. Still loves her, I bet. All right. A daily discipline, November 4th. When the self-examination, meditation, and prayer are logically related and interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation for life. 12 steps and 12 traditions. The last three steps of the program invoke God's loving discipline upon my willful nature. If I devote just a few moments every night to a review of my highlights of my day, along with an acknowledgement of those aspects that didn't please me so much, I gain a personal history of myself, one that is essential to my journey into self-discovery. I was able to note... excuse me. I was able to note my growth and lack of it, and to ask in prayerful meditation to be relieved of those continuing shortcomings that cause me pain. Meditation and prayer also teach me the art of focusing and listening. I find that the turmoil of the day gets turned out as I pray for His will and guidance. The practice of asking Him to help me and my strivings for perfection puts a new slant on the tedium of any day. Because I know there is honor in any job done well, the daily disciplines of prayer and meditation will keep me fit in spiritual conditions, able to face whatever the day brings without the thought of a drink. Yeah, I mean, it's a character defect, right? There's shortcomings, right? These, one of the things when I came into the program, I didn't think I had any character defects, right? And so, over time, working these steps, working the 6 and 7 step, right? Taking people hostage is a character defect, right? But learning all about that, trying not to be, at least recognizing it and trying not to do that again. But when that happens, all I can see it is when other people do it. And, you know, unfortunately, you have to say, or it'd be nice if you could say, hey, bro, if you do that, this could happen. If you don't do that, you know, you might find a easier, softer way. But people don't listen like that, right? And they have to go through that. And unfortunately, this guy is just probably going to have a shitty relationship with his ex-wife and a shitty relationship trying to see his kids. And for all because he just couldn't handle being told no. Waiting to clean up the city. Waiting to mark.